When you, in your own independence, in your own humanness, are able to live life in your own way, you just lost the blessing.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's a difference between living a blessed life and just receiving physical or material blessings.
God promises to bless us with stuff, but stuff is supposed to be the bonus, not the essence.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. A character in the musical Fiddler on the Roof once said, "It's no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either." Well, today, Dr. Evans talks about one kind of poverty that has some divine advantages as he takes us to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5.
If you were to go to Universal Studios, as many of you have, either in Florida or in California, and in these movie lots, you'll see towns and Western towns and modern day towns where films are done. They will explain to you as you drive through these lots, what you are looking at, they will tell you, is a facade, where the external looks like it's a town or a city, but if you were to go on the other side, there's nothing there. In other words, there's no reality behind what you see. Unfortunately, today, much of what goes under the listing of a blessing is a facade, because there's nothing on the other side of it. We define blessing as a state of well-being, where the kingdom follower of Christ gets to both enjoy and extend the goodness of God in their lives. You are blessed not necessarily because you have stuff. Whenever God blessed his people, and God does bless his people, but whenever he blesses his people externally, it's because he is doing something internally. So God wants you to be, I'm calling the series, truly blessed. How to be truly blessed. That is from the inside out and not just from what you have on the outside. The Beatitudes, the state of blissfulness, is God's explanation on how to be truly blessed as he gave his disciples his principles and precepts for living kingdom kind of lives. If you walk through these eight Beatitudes, you will understand how to be truly blessed. Each sermon will give this, the meaning, the result, and then finally, we're going to explain how you get there. So what the requirement is, what the result of meeting that requirement will be, therefore, how do you meet that requirement? Today, we're talking about the first beatitude. The first beatitude, verse 3, simply says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's all we're going to talk about today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Nobody in their right mind likes being poor. But when it comes to being blessed, according to Jesus, if Jesus knows what he's talking about, poverty is absolutely essential. Blessed are the poor, but notice he says, in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ here pronounces a blessing on poverty. But the poverty he is pronouncing a blessing on is a spiritual poverty. Many of God's choicest servants in the Bible were filthy rich. Many you would call today multimillionaires. Abraham would have fit into that category. David would have fit into that category. Job was a very wealthy man, and there was probably one mega billionaire in there, and that would be Solomon. So God had no problem with giving his people stuff. But what God does have a problem with is using stuff to measure your spiritual status. You could be very successful in the physical realm and be God's worst enemy at the same time. Because Jesus defines blessing not first of all as stuff. It may be, but it's not necessarily the case. It is the overflow of the condition of spirit. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means that you have a full recognition in the inner man of your complete inability to meet and address your own spiritual needs. When you, in your own independence, in your own humanness, in your own self-confidence, in your own pride, are able to live life in your own way, you just lost the blessing. I don't care how much stuff you have. You've lost the blessing. There's a church in the Bible. You can read it in the second half of Revelation chapter 3. It was the church at Laodicea. It was a wealthy congregation. It was a bling bling congregation. It was the place to go. It was the in crowd. It was where the creme de la creme went to church. It was where the uppity congregation went to church. It was the spot. And Jesus Christ does an analysis of the church at Laodicea as they drove their Mercedes chariots up to the church, and as they had VIP parking, and as they had all the nice fineries on, as they wore their nice gold jewelry. God says, I wish you were hot, or I wish you were cold. I wish you were coffee or iced tea. In the winter, I wish you were hot. In the summer, I wish you were cold glass. I could do something with you. But you are neither. He says you are lukewarm. Now, have you ever ordered lukewarm coffee? Have you ever said, give me a cup of lukewarm coffee. Give me some lukewarm tea. You want iced tea or hot coffee. You don't want lukewarm. Jesus says of this church that was externally blessed with all the stuff, you make me want to throw up. He says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. That means vomit. He says, I look at your church service, I look at your congregation, I look at your wealth, your cars, your niceties, your houses, I look at all this stuff that you would say you've been blessed with, and every time you come to church, y'all make me want to vomit. That's what he said. So evidently, having stuff doesn't equal being blessed. Not if the one you claim who gave it to you wants to throw up when he sees you. In fact, Jesus didn't even go to church there because he said, I stand at the door and knock. Hope somebody open. Because he's even on the outside of the church. They're having praise. They're waving their hands. They're singing a song. They're shouting. They're dancing to Jesus, not even inside. He said, behold, I'm standing at the door. Can I come in? What y'all shouting about? I'm not there. Because they are defined being okay with God by stuff. Don't misread me. Nothing wrong with stuff. God promises to bless us with stuff, but stuff is supposed to be the bonus, not the essence. See, it's supposed to be the bonus, not the essence. To be poor in spirit, then, is to declare spiritual bankruptcy. When do you declare bankruptcy? When you can't pay. When your ability to meet your obligations, not only can you not meet them, you don't see any way to fix it. Because usually people file chapter 7, chapter 11, when they see no way to make it right. Their own resources can't handle the debt load. It is recognizing our total insufficiency to satisfy what is needed in my own humanness. When you get sick, we usually start off over the counter. We start off going to the drugstore and finding something that we think will fix it. But when the problem persists, at some point we determine this problem is beyond us. The medicine's not working, the syrup's not working, the pills are not working, that I have the power to purchase over the counter. It's not working. So therefore, something deeper must be wrong. That causes us to call the doctor, because we have come to the place of realization that we do not have the capacity to get what we need to fix where we are, leading us to a professional who both can diagnose and prescribe the remedy for the deeper issue that we didn't know was deep. We didn't know it was deep till our own humanness couldn't fix it. Purchasing our own pills couldn't fix it. Rubbing our own selves down couldn't fix it. Homespun remedies couldn't fix it. So maybe there's something deeper here. Could it be that the reason that life is not working for many of us is we're still locked in to our humanness, our own human confidence, abilities, strategies, thoughts, mentalities, and we keep on taking over-the-counter solutions, wondering why inside we still sick, even though money going up, cars nicer, houses better, clothes finer. Nothing wrong with those things, as long as they don't replace what is true blessing. And true blessing starts with poverty of spirit. Paul's conclusion about himself was, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He says, I am totally incapable of satisfying what is needed for life to be lived as it was meant to be lived. Most of us don't believe that. Most of us believe we are more than capable. If I keep working at it, it'll be better.
Dr. Evans will continue to unpack that idea for us when he continues our message in just a moment. Don't go away.
The thing about serving an infinite God is that no matter how much you know about him, there's always more to learn. So whether you're brand new to Scripture or an experienced ministry professional, there's something for you at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll find online courses covering core concepts of the faith. Working at your own pace and schedule, you'll dig deep into the historical context of the book, uncover the key teachings, and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Dr. Evans to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. The more you learn, the more you'll want to learn. Give it a try. The Tony Evans Training Center, a world of discovery, anytime, anywhere.
You can find out more about the Tony Evans Training Center when you visit our website at tonyevans.org. And while you're there, be sure to request Tony's brand new book, Kingdom Values. In it, he explains why the only antidote to the cultural craziness going on around us is to build a healthy, Christ-centered character inside us. You'll discover a blueprint for personal growth that'll not only change the way you live, but influence the people around you as well. If you contact us right away, we'll send you a copy of Kingdom Values as our way of saying thanks when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, we'll include all 8 messages in his teaching series, Returning to the Truth. Now, this special offer is only available for a limited time, so don't wait. Make your request online when you visit tonyevans.org or reach out to our Resource Center any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat our contact information for you after Tony brings us the conclusion of today's lesson. Let's join him.
What happens when you're poor in spirit? Theirs is the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. Now, the Bible talks about the kingdom in 2 ways. The kingdom of God, that deals with who the head of the kingdom is, God, he's the king. And then it says kingdom of heaven, that deals with the location, the spiritual realm, basically. He says, theirs is the kingdom of God. In the Greek text, the word theirs is in the emphatic position, which simply means theirs and nobody else's. Only the poor in spirit get to experience the kingdom of heaven. If you're not poor in spirit because you're rich in self-confidence, guess what you don't get? You don't get the kingdom of heaven. Because theirs alone, that is the poor in spirit, are the only ones who get the kingdom of heaven. If you are not poor in spirit, you may have the riches of earth, but what you don't get is the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, if I got bling bling with the kingdom of earth, why do I care that I do not have the kingdom of heaven? Okay, we'll talk about that. Let me explain what it is. Kingdom is from a Greek word, basileia, which means rule or authority or being in charge. What you get if you're poor in spirit is seeing the rule of God operating in your life. Okay, let me say it another way. What you get is the experience of seeing what it looks like and feels like to be an overcomer. Watch this. Jesus says in John 16, 33, in this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, bad days are going to come. Just comes because you're living here. But then he makes a weird statement. He says, but be of good cheer. Smile anyway, laugh anyway, because I have overcome the world. How did you overcome the world? Because I'm operating from a different kingdom. He says the reason why you can be an overcomer is I am an overcomer. If you are poor in spirit, you get my overcoming, which is the kingdom of heaven operating in your life. I have overcome. I'm going to share my overcoming with you, or yours will be the kingdom of heaven. You will see heaven overruling earth. So now, if I get to see heaven, which is more than stuff, because there's some of us here today who have stuff and are miserable. So how do you get poor in spirit? Well, there are two ways you can get poor in spirit. So that's the only way to get the kingdom of heaven. One is to make yourself poor. Now, we're probably not going to get a lot of takers on that one. The Bible says, humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. So you can make yourself poor. You can say, okay, I'm going to give away all my self-sufficiency, like a person giving away all their money. I'm going to give away all my self-sufficiency. I'm going to do it intentionally. I'm going to do it on purpose so I can get poor as soon as possible so I can get this kingdom operating on my behalf. That's one way. There's a second way to become poor in spirit. That's with a little help. That's because God creates situations you can't fix. So God gonna help a brother out. God gonna help a sister out. Because he knows you need to be poor in spirit, but your natural tendency won't be to make yourself poor in spirit. God will create a poverty program. He will create a situation that in your humanness, you can't fix. No matter how much money you have, people you know, power you possess, contacts you can call, it won't be able to fix it. And even when you think you have fixed it, it'll break down again. When you think you have run from it, you're gonna run back into it at another place, another time, in another way, because God is not about to let you forget your need for poverty. He creates a situation you can't fix. The Bible calls this brokenness. It's where God strips us of our self-sufficiency. The Bible is full of this. The Bible is full of God creating situations to create an impoverished state spiritually that people, no matter what they had, could not fix, so that he could show them what this other kingdom could do. Israel is leaving Egypt. And when Israel is leaving Egypt, they're leaving Egypt with bling bling. Because the Egyptians wanted to get rid of them so bad, they took off all their gold and all their silver and they gave it to the Jews to get them out of there. So the Jews are leaving Egypt living large. They're leaving Egypt with jewelry they never had before, clothes they'd never possessed before. After being in slavery over 400 years, they are living large. They're going out and say, hey, oh, you know, Wave your hand in the air. Wave it like you just don't care. I mean, they got it going on. They are leaving Egypt just successful. When they leave Egypt, they run into a problem, a rather big one. Pharaoh's coming in one direction. The Red Sea is another direction. They're surrounded by mountains. They are trapped. And they're going to die. That's this first statement. Moses, you let us out here to die. Because Pharaoh's going to kill them. Now, here's the interesting phrase. When you read the story, it says God led them. God told Pharaoh to go after them. God stuck them up against the Red Sea. How can the same God who said, I'll set my people free, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to save you, I'm going to work things out for you, put me in this kind of situation? Now, guess what the Bible says? It says, when they looked and saw Pharaoh coming this way and the Red Sea going that way, it said they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. They screaming and hollering and they're crying out to God. You know what they were? Desperate. They were poor in spirit because they couldn't fix it, even though they left bling bling. Even though they had all this money. Even though they had all this riches. They were in a situation you can't fix. They couldn't fix. So guess what? When God, here it is. When God, don't miss this. When God, don't let this go over your head. When God puts you in a situation you cannot fix, no matter how much money you have, people you know, power you possess, he is doing you a favor. What is the favor he's doing you? He is showing you your insufficiency so you can see the kingdom of heaven at work on your behalf. That is what God is doing.
Dr. Tony Evans will come back with a final challenge for us in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to have a copy of today's message to review on your own or pass along to a friend, just visit TonyEvans.org for details on the title, Blessed Are the Spiritual Beggars. And while you're there, don't forget to take advantage of our current special offer. For a limited time, you can receive, as our gift, all 8 messages in Tony's powerful teaching series, Returning to the Truth, along with his newest book, Kingdom Values, all in appreciation for your contribution to help us keep this program coming your way. Just visit us online at TonyEvans.org. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. It's open around the clock. That's 1-800-800-3222. It's natural to mourn a death, but Dr. Evans says it ought to be just as natural to mourn the sin that infects our lives. Tomorrow, he'll explain how that emotional burden can lead to an enormous blessing. Right now, though, he's back with this closing challenge for us.
One of my favorite songs, you know, everybody know my favorite group growing up was the Temptations. And one of my favorite all-time Temptations songs was Ain't Too Proud to Beg. I love Ain't Too Proud to Beg. He said, I can beg and plead for your sympathies, but I don't mind because you mean that much to me. I'm so desperate for you, I ain't too proud to beg. God is looking for some Christians that ain't too proud to beg, who are willing to go up to God and say, I'm a beg and plead for your sympathy. I don't mind because you mean that much to me. I ain't too proud to beg. I wonder if we got any beggars in the house who are willing to be poor in spirit so you can be rich in faith so that you can experience the kingdom of God in your life. Don't be too cute to beg. Don't be too proud to beg, because God only responds to those who are spiritual beggars.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.